south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, back in the saddle again after a week in the jungle. Oh, and I actually witnessed a robbery yesterday. How about that? As usual, an idiot green gringo was flashing his bling. A stupid newbie and or tourist move, for sure. Turns out, in the big city yesterday, a 50-something gringo and his wife were getting out of a rental car. Rent-a-cars, by the way, always stick out like sore thumbs down here. Now, I didn't know the guy or gal, but I was about 20 feet away walking down the sidewalk. Apparently, there was something wrong with that car. They pulled over right where I was walking, on a pretty busy street in a nice neighborhood, too. The guy popped the hood, got out. In fact, I was going to walk over and see what the problem was, maybe give him a hand. But before I could even make a move, two snarky 20-somethings on a crappy rice-burning motorcycle pulled up, seemingly offering their help, too. And while the guy was bent over, looking down into the engine compartment, the guy riding on the back of the bike reached out and ripped the guy's big-ass gold chain right off his neck. And man, they were off like a rocket. The guy and the gal never saw it coming. And you know, it's a typical move here in Latin America. I hear about things like that all the time. You've heard me talk about bad boys down here riding two on a motorcycle, just looking for stupid gringos, foreigners, and other dupes. Why? Because they know gringos and foreigners don't wear cheap fake jewelry like the locals do. They wear the real thing. Oh, and by the way, this didn't happen in Guatemala City. This happened in Panama City, because I'm traveling right now. But it happens in every medium and large city here in Latin America. Gringos with bling are easy pickings for bad boys on motorcycles. Of course, that mostly happens in crap neighborhoods, but low-life guys on motorcycles will occasionally swoop through high-end business districts, too. And though this might sound crude, I have zero sympathy when that happens to people, and when iPhones get stolen, too. So I say, if you must wear jewelry, wear the fake stuff. Oh, and by the way, a few years ago, I was in the Dominican Republic, and you know, the Russians are able to fly into the Dominican Republic without a visa. It's one of the only Western countries that allow them to do so. That's because the Dominican Republic is totally dependent on tourism. They've got that fantastic beach strip and probably 200 all-inclusive hotels and resorts. In fact, they've got their own international airport that just feeds the resorts. And another international airport just for people flying into Santo Domingo, the capital, with 6 million people, which practically has no tourism at all. Though it is a fantastic place to see because they've got that historic district where Columbus first landed and became the governor. And it's funny, when you're walking through that area, you see the bronze plaques on these old historic buildings saying things like, this is where Columbus and his son, Francisco, lived. And things like, this is the house of the very first governor in all of the New World. They've got bronze plaques on 400-year-old buildings saying things like, this is the site of the very first cathedral in the New World, etc., etc. And most of that stuff is still standing and restored and kept up. Of course, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, but you see almost no gringo tourists. Sure, there's a steady small trickle of European tourists. But North Americans, they don't care. They're not interested in seeing that kind of stuff. They'd rather go to the far southeastern side of the island, about 3 or 4 hours by car away from the capital, Santo Domingo, and fly directly into the beaches and resorts. Do they have some fantastic beaches and resorts? Anyway, a couple of years ago, I was in the historic district in Santo Domingo, and I saw pretty much the same kind of robbery happen. Now, I mentioned the Russians have visa-free travel to the Dominican Republic. In fact, there are so many Russians coming in that the menus in the big hotels and restaurants in the beachside tourist districts are in English, Spanish, and Russian. I've never seen that anywhere else in the world. Why? Because it got so many plane loads of Russians flying in directly from Moscow and St. Petersburg. And of course, it costs big money, so a lot of those Russians are what you might call Russian mob characters, or people who made their money in a sort of sketchy way. And a good percentage of the Russian men are completely tattooed up, just like you see in the John Wick movies. In fact, it seems like every shoot-em-up movie these days has a Russian mob character or two, or 10. So if you do come down to one of the Dominican Republic resorts, you're going to see those Russian characters with their beautiful, blonde, tall Russian wives or girlfriends. Again, because it's the only Western country in the world that allows Russians visa-free travel. But where was I? Oh, yeah. walking down the street a couple of years ago in Santo Domingo. I was walking about 20 feet behind a big, tall, thick-chested, Russian, tattooed guy built like an MMA wrestler, accompanied by his tall, blonde Russian wife or girlfriend, whatever. And those Russians, man, especially those tattoo-clad ones, love wearing heavy gold chains around their necks. And this guy and gal's necks were both loaded down with the stuff. So we're walking down the main pedestrian drag in Santo Domingo called El Conde, the historic district. That place just loaded with historic buildings I was mentioning before. So anyway, we're walking up to one of the corners on El Conde where cars are allowed to pass through. And sure enough, two snarky guys on a crappy rice-burning motorcycle pulled up, and the guy riding on the back ripped the chains right off the girl's neck. And the Russian guy, man, it was the funniest thing to see. He instantly twisted his right hand around to the middle of his back, suddenly realizing his gun wasn't there, because obviously you can't take your guns with you on vacation in a foreign country. But it seemed so natural a move, just like a Russian bad guy in the movies. I had to think, man, this guy's not a nice guy either. Then the both of them, the guy and girl, started shouting things in Russian, throwing their hands up in the air. And within 2 or 3 minutes, Politour, a tourist cop, walked over. And then it got even more confusing because Russian tourists don't know how to speak Spanish. I learned that a long time ago when I was at one of those resorts in Punta Cana. I asked the waiter when I first came across a menu that was in English, Spanish, and Russian. I said, why Russian? Why bother? Well, that's when he told me that a huge amount of business is done with Russians. And he said almost none of them speak Spanish. In fact, he said all the big hotels and resorts have a Russian-speaking concierge on duty because it's absolutely necessary. And Google Translate from Russian to Spanish is exceedingly crappy. Oh, and by the way, I totally understood why the guys on that rice burner took her jewelry instead of his, because he was no guy to mess with. Oh, and when the tourist cop came up, I stood there and interpreted a little bit for him because the Russian girl spoke some English. And the tourist cop, who spoke no English, he said Russian tourists are huge targets for just that kind of crime because they love to wear that gold jewelry. And the bad boys all know they don't wear fake stuff. It's real. And the moral of the story? Well, you know the moral of the story. Leave the real stuff at home. In fact, don't even tempt them with the fake stuff. Because, you know, wherever gringos and expats are in Latin America, they have a reputation of having money, at least enough money to travel around the world. And that means it's practically a guarantee they don't wear cheap jewelry. Oh, and that reminds me, I see so many gringa expats and gringa tourists taking videos, pictures, and selfies with their expensive, colorful iPhones. And those bad guy thieves on bikes always have an eye out for gringos with expensive iPhones, too. If you were a bad guy, wouldn't you? And it's funny. I run into lots of gringo couples where the wife has a high-end iPhone and the guy has a mediocre, run-of-the-mill, couple-year-old Samsung Android. Well, I gotta tell you, if you have an Android phone, you're much less likely to be a target. And you know, iPhone prides itself on a certain kind of look. You can spot them a block away, right? Plus, you can get them in all those candy colors, too. They're so obvious. And the moral there, well, you know the moral of that story, too. In fact, in my own case, I have a Samsung, I think it's Model 3J or something like that. It's at least 5 years old. Works fine. In fact, I even bought it used. I think it was $60 at a used phone store here. In fact, sometimes I wish somebody would steal it. You longtime listeners heard me tell the story of the last time I had a phone stolen here in Latin America. It was way back in the flip phone days. I'd say it was about in the year 1999, practically pre-internet. All right, now for some interesting emails. This one's from Chick. He says, hello, Johnny. As always, thanks so very much for all your time, energy, and entertainment. A quick request, though, for that report you spoke of a while back regarding dog vaccinations. Would you please send it to me? All right, me, Johnny. Yeah, I just did, Chick. You should have it by now. By the way, for all you listeners out there, I have a very good report pointing out how people continuously over-vaccinate their dogs to the point of illness, even premature death. Again, all because 95% of the vets out there believe all the blurbs and advertisements big vet pharma bombards them with, and all the free samples, of course. Man, does that sound familiar, huh? In fact, you'll find if you look at this report, which was put together by a group of very concerned vets and vet researchers who've seen what the dog vaccination industry has turned into. Just another case of follow the money. So anyway, that report tells you exactly what vaccinations your dog should get and should not get, with heavy emphasis on the fact that some, in fact, most all vaccinations are only required once in a dog's life, not every 6 months or a year. So for all you mutt owners out there, you really need this report. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll ship it right off to you. Oh, and another thing the report stresses is that people are giving their dogs vaccinations way too early in their lives, which, according to this report, sets them up for loads of trouble as they age. All right, back to Chick's email. I should mention that Chick and his wife and family are homesteaders out in the boonies of Ecuador. You might remember he sent an email a while back talking about how he rescued some cats that an owner tried to kill. He put them in a plastic bag and threw them on the side of the road. Anyway, he says, Johnny, for the record, all of our buildings I built using hand tools. No generator, no electricity at all. As a result, I'm sporting a weak case of tennis elbow. So I recently bought a lovely acoustic guitar to keep me busy. The wife and I are having a blast playing and singing during my recovery, but unfortunately, playing kind of hurts my elbow too. Can't win for trying, Johnny, but we're having loads of fun. Today, though, I'm in town getting my nearest neighbors, 5 kilometers away, getting their cat spayed. Poor thing keeps getting pregnant all the time. Spaying's the only solution. Though I keep hoping when I get into the nearest town, I find out humanity has wised up and the criminals behind the fear-mongering have been strung up by their toes, Mussolini style. On that note, Johnny, I bid you a fine farewell, sir. Many thanks. Chick, in Ecuador. I think when he referred to being strung up Mussolini style, he was talking about the whole COVIDiot thing and fake news. Fauci, Gates, and all those power-hungry jerks. Now, speaking how terribly ridiculous this stuff is, a listener just sent me a copy of a bill, H.R. 4980, that's speeding its way through the House of Representatives right now. And if it passes, it directs the Secretary of Homeland Security to ensure that every individual traveling on a flight that departs from or arrives to an airport inside the U.S. or a territory of the U.S., it will require all travelers to be fully vaccinated against COVID. And the idiot author of this stupid bill, Representative Torres of New York, where else? It should be he and all the sponsors of this bill who should be strung up by their toes like Mussolini. And to think George Orwell thought he was just a fiction writer. And in the end, he turned out to be clairvoyant. All right, speaking of big pharma, medicine, and animals, comes this email from Fred. He says, hey, Johnny, I really liked your ivermectin hydrochloroquine information and your attitude about it. So crazy that so many people died and are dying without need. Just wanted to mention that here in the States, there is one other option than getting the somewhat expensive meds from online doctors. Most people don't know, ivermectin paste for horses is sold by veterinary supply places. It may seem strange and hazardous, but in general, medicines developed for animals are as pure as those for humans. All right, me, John, here, let me stop and comment on that. You know, over the years, I've been told the same thing by many vets who occasionally use veterinary drugs for their families and themselves. In fact, up in Chicago, I had a couple of friends who owned racehorses and greyhound dogs that would race at the dog track. I was invited to watch them race many times, and I'd go down to the stables and kennels and talk to the vets. They were always shooting them up with something. And the vets said the very same thing. The same purity and sanitary standards apply to both human and veterinary medicines, too. In fact, many times they're made at the same production facilities. Though almost everyone believes, somehow, veterinary medicines have lower standards. It's just not true. In fact, one vet told me that belief comes from the fact that people judge everything in the veterinary world by the canned and dry dog and cat food example. They know how gross that stuff looks and smells. But as preppers and survivalists will tell you, if all else fails and the systems go down, dog food will keep you going with all the necessary vitamins and minerals and is actually a far sight better than any fast food that a good percentage of the human population is addicted to right now. Though the cliche is true, no one wants to go into the factory and see how the sausage is made. But those dog and cat food plants are just like hamburger patty and hot dog factories. If the labels on the boxes and cans were removed, the average person taking a tour wouldn't know the difference. But for sure, either way, he'd be disgusted. I should know, I went through the Oscar Mayer Wiener factory up in Chicago when I was a kid. And I'll never forget the image indelibly burned into my mind that before the hot dogs were packaged, they were pure white, like sticks of lard, with the last step in the process being dipped into a vat of pinkish-red dye to make us think they are actually made out of red meat. What a miserably enlightening experience that was. Anyway, Fred continues in his email talking about ivermectin paste for horses. He says, it may be called ivermectin paste, but more commonly it's called by a brand name, Duramectin. If you search Duramectin paste for horses, anywhere including Amazon, you'll find plenty of the stuff for sale. Although I think it's generally cheaper to look online for veterinary supplies directly. Prices range from about $5 to $15 a tube. In fact, Johnny, I just ordered 12 tubes for $59. It's not actually a tube, but rather a plastic syringe that is made so you can squirt it directly into the horse's mouth. As it happens, horses are dosed for worms at the same dose humans take for COVID, 200 micrograms per kilogram weight. And the syringe contains enough for a 1,250-pound horse, so it's not too hard to calculate. If you're interested, I can explain exactly how to set up using a cheap digital scale, again from Amazon or other places, which costs about $13 with a battery that seems to last forever. By the way, Johnny, I got vaxxed about 4 months ago for peer and family pressure reasons. But before that, I was taking ivermectin regularly, and with the Delta scare, I've started taking it again. Anyway, Johnny, love your work. Keep it up. Signed, Fred. All right, Fred, thanks for that. Fred, let me do a little calculation here. If a horse weighs 1,250 pounds and they get the same dose of ivermectin as humans do, 200 micrograms per kilogram, and a syringe contains enough for a 1,250-pound horse, so a 1,250-pound horse weighs 568 kilograms, you know, pounds divided by 2.2, and since one of those syringes has 200 micrograms per kilogram, if you multiply that times 568, you've got about 114 milligrams of ivermectin in one tube, and for humans, the average treatment dose is divided over 5 days, so one syringe is just about right for a whole human treatment of 5 days, because the daily dosage of ivermectin, for humans that is from 18 to 22 milligrams a day, and if you divide that out into the 116 milligrams in a tube, that gives you slightly over 5 days. So as Fred says, you can use one tube for a human, just break it down into 5 doses, one per day. Now, am I recommending you do that? Well, I'm just providing information here, telling you what certain gringos and expats are prone to do. The thing is, though, if you get ivermectin online legally through the steps I mentioned in a previous show, it'll cost you around $150 versus $59, as Fred says, for 12 tubes. That's 12 separate complete human treatments if you get it from the veterinary supply house. So if it's just about the price, you're getting it for a tiny fraction compared to getting it the legal, authorized way, through a doctor's prescription and all that. By the way, there's nothing illegal about taking veterinary medicines. I mean, really, if you look at some of the medicines they give dogs, cats, etc., they take the same basic ones humans do, especially with antibiotics, like penicillin, erythromycin, tetracycline, the works. And vets will tell you it's the same quality and purity as the human stuff. Only when vets buy it, it's a hell of a lot cheaper. Though it's debatable whether they pass that savings on to you, because I know some people who spend more at the vet for their pets than their own visits at the human doctor. Back in the States, I knew a lot of people who were stuck in that trap. All right, now let's talk about a country, Guatemala, that's got only 4% of the people vaxxed. Funny though, the emergency rooms are not filled, and it seems only the woke gringos and first world NGOs and do-gooders who are riling up the masses, causing all the ruckus. So on that note, we'll read an email from a friend up in Mexico, Oaxaca, Oaxaca Bob. He says, and I'll paraphrase this a bit, Guatemala's 4% vax rate seems to imply, at least at this point, to a much lower infection and die-off rate there, as contrasted to the more heavily vaxxed spots in Latin America. Bob says, in my region here in industrially benign Oaxaca, with its heavy indigenous population, we are much less vaxxed than the rest of Mexico, too. To the point that Mexico's president has now decreed a national policy to use various governmental agencies to go out in the campo, in the boonies, in the less vaxxed regions, and get that vax rate up. But it seems to me, from a boots-on-the-ground perspective, that it was 95% lip service anyway. From what I see as a failing, bankrupt, impotent state, there's not any such mobilization to speak of in this area, Oaxaca. Though I predict when the vaccine supplies do arrive, and they're mostly the Chinese ones, by the way, the ignorant locals will indeed eagerly line up, especially when it's free and they give incentives. Then he says, back to the point, Guatemala, just to the south of us in Oaxaca, is going to be a rather benign spot compared to even here this winter, when vax overreactions to new coronavirus exposures appear. As Dr. Lee Merritt, former Navy surgeon, posits in the above linked interview, and he includes it here, Dr. Merritt says, the cancers and heart issues related to the vax may surpass the vaccine-related secondary effects we're seeing now. In short, we may be looking at a future where the medical facilities are overrun, not to COVID itself, but the secondary effects of the vax. So we, me and the wife, are hunkering down and getting ready here, and God help the folks up north who are in the true vaxed impact zones. He says, I know in the end there's a lot of speculation at this point, but I tend to favor acting over reacting. It's always best to think ahead, though not to the point of letting fear rule your lifestyle choices. Fact is, me and mine are in two choices spot here south of the border to cower in fear and not enjoy every day. Best wishes from Oaxaca State, Oaxaca Bob. All right, thanks for that, Bob. And one of the reasons I read that is because you're absolutely right about how out in the boonies here in Latin America, almost no one's getting vaxxed. In fact, under pressure from first world governments, the local Latin American governments are panicking, with government pusheads in the news spouting that same rhetoric that Mexico's president's been bleating about every day. They're doubling and tripling down on efforts to get the vax to the people out in the hinterlands. Well, let me tell you, Bob, with Guatemala's vax rate at around 4%, the same thing is happening. In fact, the government's even got Uber in the act. And in some cases, not only will they give you a free ride back to the vax site, they'll give you a bonus, an Uber discount, and local funny money, too. If you don't believe me, a good friend and a friend of the show, and seminar repeat offender Jennifer, sent this notice she received from Uber. It's in Spanish, and I'll translate here. But it's really ironic, and I'll tell you why in a second. Again, the title of this message from Uber is, "Let's vaccinate together in Guatemala." No joke. How happy and upbeat that does sound, huh? Anyway, get this. I'm translating from Spanish. It says, "Dear Jennifer, we want mobility not to be a barrier for Guatemalans to get vaccinated. That's why we at Uber have added Guatemala to our global commitment to facilitate discounted trips through our Uber app. And today, we will want to tell you that we have a special promotion for you. Until October 11, 2021, you'll get up to 32 quetzales. That's about $5 off two trips to and from your vaccination center by just entering this promotional Uber code into the app site. It's Uber Vacunas GT. Then it says your promotional code includes a trip with up to 32 quetzales discount to go to your vaccination center and another with up to 32 quetzales, around $5, discount for the return, available where the Uber app is active, as in Quetzaltenango and Guatemala City and others. Then it says the promotional code applies only to trips that begin or end in the authorized vaccination centers in the cities where Uber app is available." So there you have it. Now, I wonder if you'll be able to sue Uber when those nasty secondary effects start piling up. Guess we'll have to see about that. Time will tell. Now, if that isn't crazy enough, here's the irony. Remember, we mentioned that only 4% of Guatemalans are vaccinated? Well, the other 90-plus percent are mostly indigenous people. Indigenous people who have never, ever used Uber before and don't even have the app. They don't even know what it is. So again, to me, it looks like it's all about the money. A way to get indigenous people who've never used Uber before and don't even know what the hell it is or how to download the app to try it by getting a free trip to the vax center. To do that, of course, they'll have to download the app that they've never heard of. And once it's on their phone, they'll be bombarded with offers and promotions, you know, the usual internet garbage and spam. And some of them, even if it's a very small percentage who can afford it, will become Uber customers. By the way, in all my years down here in Latin America, I've never seen an indigenous person, you know, with the indigenous dress and all that, getting an in or out of an Uber, unless accompanied by the upscale lady of the house, who they're either working for as a maid or nanny. Indigenous people are chicken bus people. That's it, because it's cheap. So believe me, Uber's not offering free rides to vax centers out of the goodness of their heart. It's all about capturing an untapped market. Oh, and another thing. A very large percentage of indigenous people live out in the boonies where there's no Uber service at all. So that 90-plus percent of the population that has not been vaxxed will never even know or hear about that promotion. Good thing too, huh? So just like on the boonies of Mexico, there's a huge push to get people vaxxed. But it's mostly lip service. So again, in this case, it's to the public's advantage to have lazy, lard-ass, unmotivated bureaucrats in charge of enforcement. Though, in contrast to first-world places like Australia, where they've locked down the population so tight that you can't even walk outside without risking a huge fine. So, in lunatic fashion, they've got a whole list of new Orwellian rules that will be enforced. I'd like to thank Andres, Expat Insider Seminar alumnus, for sending me this summary of the draconian rules in place in Australia right now. Number one, police can enter anyone's home without a warrant. Number two, curfew every day is 8 p.m. Number three, there's a $1,600 fine if you're outside of your home without a valid reason. Number four, you cannot visit any family or friends. Number five, it's a $200 fine if you're not wearing a mask inside and outside at all times. Number six, you can only exercise one time per day for up to 1 hour. Number seven, only one person in a household per day may leave the house, for example, to get groceries or go to the pharmacy. Number eight, weddings are now illegal. Number nine, gatherings of any size are illegal. 10, You cannot travel more than 3 miles from your house. 11. If you live in an apartment complex where units have a balcony, you are not allowed to sit on your own balcony. 12. If you live in a house with a porch, you cannot sit on it or on your own back patio. You must stay inside at all times. 13. Cars on the road will have their license plates checked by police, and if they're more than 3 miles from home, the car will be stopped, the driver pulled over, arrested, and the car impounded. 14. Citizens are encouraged to call a hotline number to snitch on others. 15. Unvaxxed children will be taken from their homes without parent supervision and herded into stadiums to be vaccinated. All right, meet Johnny again. You know, in first world countries, they enforce the law, no matter how stupid, regressive, and contrary to human nature it is. And to think, years ago when I was a young adult watching Crocodile Dundee movies, me and so many other of my friends thought Down Under would be a great place to live, work, play, and or do business. Man, were we wrong. Oh, and by the way, isn't it a coincidence that Australia has one of the most stringent gun control laws of all so-called free democratic countries? What a joke. Yeah, you know the story. The first step, take away their guns. Hitler, Mussolini, Mao, Lenin, Stalin, Castro, Chavez, and that fat boy from North Korea, whose name I can't always pronounce exactly. What have they all got in common besides being failed socialist states? Early on, the first thing they did was take away the rights of their citizens to own guns. Because believe me, in the case of Australia, those Aussies are tough. You think they'd let their government get away with what they're doing right now if guns were legal? I mean, really, you can't exactly take to the streets to fight a protest against your government's totally ludicrous, unjust actions if all you've got is pots, pans, and kitchen knives. Oh, and of course, strict gun control has already come to Canada and Europe. And you can count on the fact that the woke crowd will get rid of your gun rights in the States shortly, too. Man, am I glad I live here in Latin America. Oh, and one last thing. Have you noticed in all that footage in the news coming out of Afghanistan, not one of those tens of thousands of gun-toting Taliban guys running through the streets is wearing a mask? And social distancing is like 2 inches? So riddle me this, Batman. Where are all the COVID victims? Why aren't the streets just littered with dead COVID bodies? You might say the U.S. is getting their comeuppance. Karma or payback, if you believe in that. You know, it was Mark Twain that said, you get the government you deserve, because you voted for him. And as for Dr. Fauci, I can't even stand looking at his ugly, lying, prune-faced mug anymore. If there's anyone in this world that needs a good waterboarding, well, come to think of it, so does Gates, Succoturd, Soros, the Clintons, the Bushes, and Kissinger. They're on that short list, too. But I digress, as usual. Where were we? We're supposed to be talking about Latin America, right?
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.